Okay, let's now turn to political broadcasting laws. Political broadcasting, as we talked about earlier, is part of the broadcaster's need to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And I'm sure you can see how. Providing information on the people who are going to be elected to public office, who are going to carry out the needs of a democracy, is really important for people to understand about. Not only do you need to understand this part of the law for that, but it will also be the case study for Chapter 11 on your final exam. There are two major laws in political broadcasting. The first is called Section 315. The full title is Section 315 of the Communications Act of 1934. I will always call it Section 315. You'll also see it referred to as the Equal Time Rule or maybe Equal Access Rule. The actual law says, if any licensee shall permit any person who is a legally qualified candidate for any public office to use a broadcasting station, he, apparently no women ever own broadcast stations, shall afford equal opportunities to all other such candidates for that office and the use of such broadcasting station. In English, if I sell to one candidate for public office, I need to sell to all of them. And, moreover, I have no power to tell, to edit, or to censor what those candidates say. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I am the owner of a radio station in Fullerton. And the mayor of Fullerton comes to me, the current incumbent mayor comes to me and says, hey, can I buy some advertising time on your station? I'd like to buy, you know, 30 seconds, a 30-second ad for 2 weeks at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I say, sure, that would be awesome. I would be happy to sell it to you. As we're going to find out, I also have to sell it cheap, but we'll get to that in a minute. So I sell it and it's all well and good. Now let's say that the opponent, the person who's going to be running against the mayor's opponent, who I really don't like very much, comes to me and says, ah, I heard that you the advertisements you sold to the mayor on your station, I want to buy those same kinds of advertisements too. Now I must sell to that opponent whether or not I like the opponent, because once I have sold to one, I have sold must sell to all. I must also sell same relative time, so I can't put the mayor who I like at 7 a.m. drive time and the candidate, the opponent who I don't like at midnight when nobody's listening. I also have to charge them equitable amounts. I can't charge the person I like $5 and the person I don't like $100 million. It's all got to be equal or roughly equal, and I can't censor any of them no matter what they say. Broadcast stations have lost their license if they don't do this. Okay? Now, there are some exceptions, okay? What I fondly call the bona fides. Bona fide is Latin for good faith. And what this means is that if there is some good faith reason for either a candidate or an opponent to be on air, the other person, the other candidate, can't claim equal time. Let me give you an example. Let's say that a plane hits College Park. Let's hope that it hits above so that I have a possibility of getting out on the fourth floor. We'll sacrifice the higher floors. Obviously, the mayor of Fullerton would want to do a press release, or not only a press release, but also a public statement on this, right? Have to hold a press conference. Say that the mayor of Fullerton holds a half-hour press conference. Oh, we're really sorry for the lives that have been lost in College Park, and we'll help Cal State Fullerton. We're here for support them, blah, blah, blah. All those things that public officials say in times of tragedy. The opponent to the mayor cannot come to the people who have covered that press conference and demand equal time. Now you might say, well, what if the mayor says, oh, we're really sorry, blah, 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 and oh, by the way, vote for me. Well, maybe that might trigger an equal time kind of thing, but that would only be 5 seconds, okay? And it would also be really tacky of the mayor in a time of major tragedy to say, and oh, by the way, vote for me. Essentially, if we're looking at a real, true reason for there to be a news story, that doesn't trigger equal time. What would be an example of a story that would not trigger equal time? Well, say that the mayor gets a new haircut or a new suit and decides to hold a press conference to advertise his new haircut or her new haircut or new suit. Clearly, that's not really a bona fide event, and if there was a coverage of it, then maybe the other candidate would have an opportunity to have that equal time. Okay? Used to be once upon a time that old Reagan movies and movies like that featured candidates who had once been celebrities or movie stars would trigger equal time. As we're going to find out, that's no longer the case. Okay? So a bona fide news event is one where there would be actual reason for there to be some sort of news coverage of an event, whether a tragedy or a death in a family, some bona fide reason. Okay? And if there's not a bona fide reason, there would be a claim on equal time. Okay? Now, broadcasters don't have to notify candidates, so I don't have to call up the mayor's opponent and say, hey, I sold the mayor time. You know, you can buy time if you want. I do have to keep a logbook or some sort of record that the opponent can see when the opponent comes to see me to buy time. All right? I don't have to be exact if I sell time. I do have to be equitable. In other words, if I can't sell at 7 o'clock in the morning, I can sell at 7:15 or maybe 7:30 or maybe 8 o'clock if that's okay. It's got to be equitable. And I don't have to charge them the exact to the penny, but again, I can't really overcharge one person just because I don't like them. Okay? Within 7 days, a candidate must notify the broadcast station that he or she wishes to buy time. Students have often asked, does that mean that if after 7 days I can refuse? Yeah, I don't really think that it would be smart to refuse because that could be the bounds of a lawsuit, but I guess technically under the law you could. I always recommend that you kind of play a little bit loose with the 7-day rule. And there is one big exemption. Let's say that I'm the owner of the radio station, and I hate the mayor's opponent for mayor with the red hot fury of a thousand suns. I would rather see that person, you know, go be a trash collector or a dog catcher or whatever than I would see the mayor. And I simply couldn't live with myself if I sold that person time. The only way I could get away without selling that person time is if I also denied it to the mayor who I like. Once I sell to the mayor, I have to be fair to the other candidates. But I can stay out of the whole thing altogether, but then I have to deny time even to candidates who I might want to sell time to, only for state and local. Okay? Section 315 applies to state and local candidates, so mayors and city council people and school board representatives and state legislators. Section 312, on the other hand, applies to federal candidates. The actual name of the law is Section 312, Subpart A, Subpart 7 of the Communications Act of 1934. I'll simply call it Section 312. Section 312 applies to federal candidates, President, Vice President, Federal House, Federal Senate. The actual law says, the Commission may revoke any station license for willful or repeated failure to allow reasonable access to or permit the purchase of reasonable amounts of time for the use of a broadcasting station by a legally qualified candidate for federal elective office on behalf of his, apparently no women ever run, candidacy. In English, you cannot deny time to federal candidates. Okay? Now, you don't have to sell time if you've provided enough free time. Sometimes stations will decide to have debates where they give an hour and a half of free time to the candidates to debate. They don't have to sell additional time. There are some limitations on the kinds of time they can sell, but they cannot close federal candidates out altogether. If asked, they must sell. And this rule was considered to be constitutional in the case of CBS versus FCC, which I will call Jimmy Carter's case. That's how I think of it. The Carter Mondale campaign had requested 30 minutes of time on each network to talk about their platforms. All three of them refused, although CBS said, you can have 5 minutes. not a very nice situation. So Carter complained to the FCC, and the FCC fined the stations. Okay? The stations filed suit and said that this was unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court ordered, basically said that Section 312 was constitutional, that they had not met their burdens, and that, yes, FCC may order networks under 312 to air federal candidates' political statements even up to a year before the election. Bottom line, Section 312 is constitutional, thanks to this case. Okay? So again, to recap, Section 315 applies to state and local candidates only. If you sell to one, you must sell to all, and it's got to be equitable as to time and cost. You don't have to provide equal time under the bona fides, all right? And there are some additional rules, like the 7-day rule and the like, that need to be addressed as well. Section 312 applies to federal candidates. You must sell if a federal candidate asks, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to get rooked out of a whole bunch of money. Thanks to the lowest unit charge obligation, not only do the stations have to sell to candidates, but they have to sell at the lowest unit charge, which means that your best customer is the rate that you give to the candidates. So let's say that there's a coffee house in town that I give a really good rate to. that is a regular purchaser of ad time and I give them a really good rate. Let's say, and I'm making the numbers up, you know, $50 for a 30-second ad on any given day. That's the rate that I have to give to candidates. So that is a big discount. It's not a license to print additional money. Okay? And there is a little bit of a clarification. The FCC said that stations simply have to tell the candidates about all the rates and let them pick the cheapest one available to anyone. All right? But basically that ends up being that the best rate that you give your best customer is the rate that you have to give political candidates to advertise. So it's kind of a big break, kind of a good deal for those candidates. Okay? All right, there are some exemptions. Cable TV, as we've talked about, and satellite radio don't have to follow any of these rules because they only apply to broadcast. Broadcast being over-the-air radio and television, the free stuff. All right? And again, broadcasters have some limitations on when selling. They don't have to sell slots during news shows, but they have to sell before and after unless they never sell those. Again, it's all about treating candidates at least equally, if not a little bit better. And finally, old Reagan movies, old Schwarzenegger movies, etc., no longer trigger 315 requirements. So we can, if Arnold Schwarzenegger ever runs again for political office, we can watch Kindergarten Cop or Twins or Terminator all we want, and it won't trigger the opposite for the other candidate. Okay? All right. Now, debates. As of 1975, the date is not important, debates are considered bona fide news events. So bottom line, the case is actually called Aspen Institute. I've never actually put it on the exam, but that's the case if you're interested. If two candidates are asked to be in a debate, that is considered to be a bona fide news event, and other candidates who are left out cannot claim equal time. And again, the case is Aspen Institute. Now, what about minor or third-party candidates? All right. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Ross Perot. Ross Perot had really big ears, and he lives in Texas, and he's richer than God. And he wanted to be a presidential candidate, by golly. But, you know, he was sort of a little nuts. People didn't know quite what to make of Ross Perot, even though he was very wealthy. Does he really have the wherewithal to run the country? But he was a viable third-party candidate. So he, along with Steve Forbes and a bunch of other candidates around that time who were being shut out of these big debates, filed suit and said, look, this isn't really fair. This is kind of a confusing case. But by and large, the court said, forcing broadcasters to include all the candidates, even on public TV, because, of course, what did they sue? They sued this little tiny station in Arkansas. Forcing broadcasters to include all candidates would result in less speech, not more. Why is that? On any given ballot, there can be many, many candidates for any particular office. If you were to let all of those candidates on the stage, you might have as many as 10 or 20 or even 30 candidates. And if you've got only 90 minutes, that means that each candidate is only going to get a few minutes. Some people might say, well, this isn't really fair to those third-party candidates like Ross Perot and people like him. And, you know, I'm inclined to agree. I kind of think that we should have a little bit more liberal rules about providing access to these third-party candidates. But the Supreme Court has not agreed with me. Okay? If you're a government station, you have to be viewpoint neutral. But by and large, the idea here is that it is simply okay with the U.S. government, and there are other cases to have supported this that I don't teach, to have a two-party system. Right now, it's Democrats, Republicans. That's just about it. Okay? All right. Now, the last rule about political broadcasting is that the broadcasters are not permitted to censor. All right? So, if somebody, you know, cusses a blue streak, you kind of have to let that happen. Some stations have bleeped and, you know, generally speaking, I think if you interpreted the law strictly, that's probably not going to be okay. Some stations have put announcements on, this may not be suitable for all people, blah, blah, blah. That's probably been okay, right? However, there have been some candidates that have been a little bit controversial. In one case, in the Farmers Educational and Cooperative Union case, one candidate libeled another in an ad. And the candidate who had been libeled sued the broadcaster. The broadcaster said, well, wait a minute here, you can't sue us. We can't edit this. We can't change it. Okay? We're not permitted to edit this stuff. And the Supreme Court said, yes, you have to let the candidates speak for themselves, and if there's a libel there, then the broadcast station cannot be liable for libelous material. All right. Even more sobering are candidates who aren't really candidates, but who take advantage of the lowest unit charge rates. Okay, that was the Becker versus FCC case. There was a candidate who said on, you know, who said in court later on that he had no intention of even serving, but that he wanted to take advantage of buying very cheap time. So he registered as a candidate, bought up these big chunks of time, and used them to broadcast anti-abortion, pro-life / anti-choice advertising, including aborted fetuses and abortions taking place. Some were concerned and said, well, we want to be able to censor these, that we have sensitive people in the audience, or maybe put them in a non-primetime spot to make sure that little kids don't get exposed to them. And the courts have generally said no. The actual law, content-based channeling of political advertisements, restricts candidates' ability to fully and completely inform the voters and inhibits full and unrestricted discussion of political issues by legally qualified candidates. Bottom line, the courts have been very protective of candidates speaking for themselves. But as a result, the liability for profanity and other things seems to be a little bit weaker here. Now, some people might be concerned, and it would be reasonable, with the continuing weirdness about indecency law, maybe you'd want to bleep if a candidate drops the F-bomb or something. It would be my argument that you should let the candidates speak for themselves. But again, I'm not paying your court bills, so maybe you would want to be a little bit more conservative. But frankly, wouldn't you want to know if your public candidate was going around cussing all the time? You know, going in front of the queen and say, hey, effing queen. You know, I don't know. Just maybe it's just me, but I would kind of want to know that. Bottom line is, generally speaking, the courts have not awarded liability.